Welcome back to Check the Stats, your weekly sports podcast. I am Hamza, along with Harry.
What's good?
And T-Rain.
Yo.
And I know Dodge looks different today.
But it's fucked up.
All jokes aside, I'd just like to welcome a close friend to the podcast. He goes by Yuvraj or UV, whichever you prefer today.
Which one?
I'll go by UV first.
Yeah. Virginia's a Barcelona youth brightest star and great Barcelona fan.
Yes.
One of
hardcore.
Barca.
Yeah.
Barca. Fucked up.
One of my favorite people to compete against and play with on the soccer field. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Get right into it.
All right, so when was the Champions League? That was like two, three weeks.
I feel like it was a minute ago.
Yeah,
it feels like it. I think it's been.
It really does.
I think like two and a half weeks.
Two and a half weeks. We saw Man City finally get the championship.
Long time coming.
Long way to dub. Yeah.
Since the start of the podcast,
it's tainted though. We'll get into it. It's tainted.
I just want to remind everybody: since the start of the podcast in like 2020, I've been. You know, saying Pep is going to do it every year, and he finally did it.
About time.
Ballhead, thank you. Made me proud. Got the triple. Thank you. But thoughts on the game from a Madrid fan with a Madrid jersey?
Well, I'm going first.
Yeah, go ahead.
not the Pep fans?
No, we'll save the victory.
I don't know, bro. It honestly was not the most convincing win I've ever seen in my life. Because 1-0, that's pretty...
I agree.
Like, for Man City... A team of Man City standard and like get kind of like destroyed almost everybody on the way, including us. Like they kind of tore us apart. Mm-hmm. And I thought like Inter had a good chance. Like if it was like 50, 60 minutes in the game, it was still 0-0. You're like, damn, Inter, you know, might pull a miracle off. But then, you know, they got the goal in the end. But yeah, it wasn't that convincing, bro. Like
I think the biggest thing was because of the fact that Pep went crazy overthinking and he changed the formation.
He did, right?
Yeah. He did.
Like per usual. Like literally every time he does it, he overthinks a little bit. I mean it worked in the end, but yeah, like I think Inter had a lot of like really, really good chances. They just couldn't capitalize. But not the most fun game to watch, is all I'll say. But deserved trophy though.
Yeah.
Deserved trophy.
I mean Inter had 14 attempts.
Yeah, bro. So
Man City had 7.
Oh, what? It was like that. Dang.
I'm telling you, yeah. Inter, like, you could say they had the better chances of the game.
I mean, okay, bro. Lukaku, okay.
This guy.
Like, come on.
I put, like, real hope in this
like,
game, bro. Like,
he had two very, very good chances. And he blocked one.
He
blocked one, too.
I think he blocked two, bro.
He blocked
two.
Okay.
One with his foot, one with
his head or shoulder or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So they should have had a goal. Like,
easily.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Did they have more XGs on
there? It doesn't say on mine.
I don't have that stat, but I'm pretty sure I saw a stat. I'm very, very certain.
I mean,
Inter had more XGs.
With 14 shots and 6 on target.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It should be.
It was low key like a classic like Madrid type win. Like they had less XG, but somehow they come out with a goal. Like literally copied Madrid. But
that Rodri goal was. That was a bullet.
Yeah,
that was a bullet.
Lucky.
He always comes up with like the craziest, like world class goals. Like, it was against Bayern. Remember, he had that weak foot like curler. You remember that?
That was gotta be a minute ago.
Yeah,
no, it was
this Champions League run.
Yeah, it was the quarters or semis. They played Bayern quarters,
wasn't
right?
Like Bendogan?
Nah, bro, y'all don't remember? Like literally, Rodri weak foot. Fucking the game's like tied or something, or maybe they're only up by one, and he had a crazy weak foot goal. Like. He always comes up with the like timely goal, like just like Gundogan does. But
that was like a deflection back note, and then he just bent it around the defender.
It was
perfect.
A lot of players would not make that shot, which is crazy. He is crazy tech, so you know, props to him. But
another player that would have made it is KDB. Sadly, he wasn't there to take it.
Yeah,
hey, two finals.
Unfortunate.
Two finals in a row. It's kind of unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
First time was Rudiger's fault. I think Rudiger elbowed him or something or ran into him.
Something like that.
He got a black eye from that, remember?
Yeah.
The Chelsea Champions League final.
KDB, he got up. He like got injured. He was out for a little bit. He's like, nah, I'm going to get back in. He made one run for Holland. He's like, nah, I'm out of this.
Yeah, that's kind of like the worst part. It's like he tried to play through it. But like if you know like a player like that can't play through it, you know it's like pretty serious. Yeah. Did they ever come out and say what it was? It's probably some muscle like injury, right? Probably like hamstring or something.
He also has been going like 110% every single game.
Yeah, I mean, he also plays majority of the games.
Exactly.
They usually are, like the past few years, like they wouldn't be able to win a big game without him. But this year, I don't know why I feel like the depth, like they could still be the same lethal offense without him. Even though like, obviously you're going to miss him a little bit, but the way like Silva was playing, Gundogan was playing, I think they were...
Silva stepped it up big time.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Same with Grealish. Grealish, he wasn't a crazy like attacking, but he provided a bunch.
Creating, he was creating a lot. Like he used to be like a little bit more aggressive like winger like at Aston Villa, but like I think Pep obviously told him like, yo, we don't need that. We don't need you to beat like four people on the wing. You can like be on the wing, but then cut in and pass it. It worked, bro. I mean, it's working.
Jamie Tartt.
He's the opposite of Jamie Tartt, low key. But
now, when he first came to Man City, his 100 mil transfer was OD. Yeah. I was like, he does not deserve that much.
The first season was like pretty average, you would say, for like
him and Foden were like on the same level.
I think,
which is a big thing to say.
I think if you like go back and look at like almost every like somewhat big name that comes with Pep's team, like it takes him like a year to adjust. The only person who didn't was Haaland, who fucking scored 50 plus
goals. How do you guys think Haaland's performance was in final?
I wouldn't say it was bad. Because like it wasn't bad, but it wasn't what we thought it would be. I thought he would have a goal or two.
Yeah. I think they learned a lot from the way Rudiger played defense on him.
Yeah, he had chances though. Like if you look back and look at Haaland's chances, he should have had like
at least one
header. Yeah. He had two headers, I think, and both of them were right at the goalie.
I think if KDB stayed, then
I think I think so too. But I think some of it was nerves. I think he was. He said it. I think in post game he was like, I was pretty nervous before the game. Like, there's a lot of pressure on your shoulders, like, trying to win.
Oh, yeah.
Because they brought him to win the Champions League, and I'm sure he was nervous. He's only 22, bro.
Yeah. Like, he's mad.
22 is crazy. He's that young, and he's probably top three players in the world, like, that age. Which is, it's kind of crazy. Like, you could argue his position maybe top five, but...
I think he's top two.
Yeah, but the performance was average for a player his caliber. For players
in the finals,
because he should have had one goal. Like
from what we've seen
right now,
season.
It's a little foggy. We don't remember the chances, but I promise you, go back and look at it. He should have scored. But anything else you guys remember from the final?
Anything not Tapping Merchant for you?
He's the best Tapping Merchant, but he definitely is a Tapping Merchant, bro. Yeah, come on,
no, like, no, I agree.
You look at all his goals in the season. All like 95% are in the box, at the penalty spot, even closer than the penalty spot. But
yeah,
that's what he does, bro. Like, if it was that easy, everybody would do it. So,
amen.
That's about it. That's
Congratulations, Pep.
The question is, do you think he deserves Ballon d'Or off that?
I'm going to let y'all go first.
Nope.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Like, you don't
he's up there.
Okay, He's definitely up there.
Okay, okay. Let's phrase it differently. If he won it, would you guys say he doesn't deserve it? Or do you guys think Messi deserves it more? Which one? Do you think he doesn't deserve it at all? Or you think there's like a...
There's a good chance. There's a good chance for.
Like,
would you
chance.
Be mad if he won it? Because I know you guys are Barca, Pep fans, Messi fans. Like Messi could win it, and like we know his PR is insane, so he might win it. But if you score 50 plus goals in a season, right, and at the efficiency that Haaland scored at, right, and he started creating towards the end of the season, so he was doing a little bit more than just tapping in, especially second half of the season.
Yeah,
50 plus goals wins a treble. Which has only been done once before in the Premier League. Won the Champions League for a club that's never won it before. How do you not win the Ballon d'Or after that? That's what I want to know. What's the case against him?
Biggest case is that Messi literally took Argentina to the World Cup. And that, like, every single game for World Cup was crazy, like, intense.
It was.
Yeah.
It was, but...
And then also, it's really slept on his... Stats in League One, they were pretty nice.
Bro,
he had mad assists. He was providing Mbappe, and he got the job done. Regarding even like his last season, it wasn't the best, but like he stepped up since then. And with all these fans booing him and stuff, like that's not Haaland got people cheering him. He got complete opposite atmosphere.
But like it's Messi, bro. Like he's pretty strong mentally. I don't think people booing him is gonna do much. I think he did like ease off probably at the end of the season for PSG, but like. If you look at the season for PSG, what he had like 20 and 20, right? Goals and assists.
Yeah.
And that's, is that, I think that's just for PSG, like not including Argentina, right? So 20 and 20. Yeah. And Haaland had 52 and 9.
And that's think a about, striker doing a striker
that's
job.
Crazy, yeah, literally. I mean, he's
52 getting, and 9 assists right, versus 20 and 20. I'm not saying,
like, to think
I'm
about
saying,
this.
I'm not was, saying numbers and stats are everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm saying, what more does a player have to do?
Okay.
That's all I'm asking. What more does he have to do?
That's fine. I mean, if you're gonna put up stat, I mean for this trophy,
I'm saying it's part of it. It's part
The stats are gonna be part of it, but here's where I see the difference in what the case is for Haaland. I mean, if you go back and look at the goals, it's literally all. I mean, like you said, Tapping Merchant from a team that is built to assist him. Like he just was brought in to be supported by one of the greatest players to assist him.
Okay, but score. Argentina's system was built around Messi. That's, to make him look the best.
Yes, but
so is that Messi, not the point of the team?
But you're gonna tell me that
I'm not saying Messi's go ahead. Finish.
But you're gonna tell me that the role that Messi played in the World Cup and how the team plays through him is the same as Haaland.
It was amazing. No,
but
it's different.
But what Messi does is like way more than what Haaland does. I think. I mean, what he achieved is great. But I think how much Messi has contributed on the field, I think it's way more than Haaland. That's how it should be looked at.
Because Messi, he literally plays a full pitch game.
I don't know.
He literally plays a full pitch game. Yeah.
The performances that what you saw in the World Cup, he won man of the match every single match. Okay,
but I understand, but y'all are the only thing y'all have mentioned so far is World Cup. I know it's the biggest competition.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I'm just saying
they won the French league
for PSG. Come on, bro.
You're just
there's still weight to that. There's still weight to that.
You're just discrediting trophies at this point.
The PSG has won like 8 of the last like 10 League One things. I don't think that's the craziest thing ever. Okay, Haaland's not in the Bundesliga. What are you talking about Bundesliga? Haaland also won in the biggest, hardest league in the world, and he was the Premier League player of the season and the Golden Boot winner. Okay, in the hardest league.
Yeah, Man City y'all running laps.
Y'all now taking that into account. He was a Golden Boot in all three competitions. FA Cup, Premier League, and Champions League. Golden Boot, all three. Right?
Understandable.
Player of the tournament.
As a striker.
Player of the tournament in basically all three trophies. I just don't understand. You can't name something he could do more for the award. What was it? Like, you want him to take Norway to, like, the quarterfinals?
I will say...
You can't name more than two players on Norway right now. I'll be surprised you can name... It's Haaland and Odegaard. That's it. Yeah. Okay, like, so international for him is kind of, like, out the picture, right? Because his team is pretty shit. And in Argentina, like, Messi, carried, like...
Most of them are young.
Argentina, obviously, Messi was the best player.
Most of them on Argentina is young.
No, I mean, talent they also up. All played out of their minds. Like, a lot of them played for smaller clubs, but then when it came to Argentina, it was a lot of like passion. We want to win it for Messi. They played out of like above their level. You could say that. Like, half the players.
Everybody knew the role.
Half the players you couldn't even. Half the players you couldn't even name where they play. Like, that's what I'm saying. But they played out of their mind for Messi, and it worked out. But I think the Ballon d'Or is like more than just one tournament. Like,
that's true.
You guys. Can't really say like what did Messi contribute in PSG's Champions League run?
Wasn't Copa America part of the season stuff?
No, that was last. That was last. That's why he won last. Yeah. No, the Benzema won last year's.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't think Copa's counted in this year's. This year's is kind of iffy. I don't get it because they changed the criteria apparently. So I don't know if they're judging like.
So what year does that fall in for the Copa?
No, I'm saying I don't think it's included in this one. So right, let's act like it's not because that doesn't make any sense.
Why so would there's it be two Copa trophies for Messi. I mean, one more for Haaland.
Three for Haaland.
But question, do you guys think...
He's being compared to a midfielder at this point. Like, Haaland is a striker compared to a midfielder.
That's what it was with Ronaldo and Messi too. Like, they're complete... They're
Messi
different positions.
Messi was more winger. Messi was more attack with Barcelona.
He drifted, bro. He played literally anywhere. And like, Ronaldo kind of the same thing. He kind of played almost... all three of the top positions and sometimes dropping back, but not really. How it always is with Ballon d'Or. You're comparing sometimes completely different positions. So it's just, a lot of it is subjective. Y'all haven't answered my question though. Like, what more did Haaland have to do for him to win it? If he can't win it this year, if Lewandowski didn't win that year, he scored 50, and this guy can't win it when he scored 50, what's the criteria here?
I'm going to say...
Besides PR.
If Messi didn't do what he did with... like PSG and Argentina, Haaland 100% gets Ballon d'Or over Mbappe or anyone else.
I think if Messi made it,
touches, I think passes.
Passes, I understand
how you move in the midfield.
No, I understand, but the Champions League has always been one of the deciding factors in the Ballon d'Or. We always know that. Like most of the time, the winner is from like a team who makes it very far in the Champions League or wins it. Benzema won it. He won it, right? Ronaldo and Messi, they usually won that they won it, or they got at least to like the final or the semifinal. PSG didn't even make it to the semifinal.
Yeah.
Right? And they kind of got knocked out like to Bayern, right? Like kind of embarrassingly, but like they were pretty much dominated.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, every single season, the Champions League is a big, big factor.
But do you think Champions League final
it's not the end all be all.
Is bigger than World Cup would?
It's not the end all be all. But I'm telling you,
that's what I'm saying.
I agree, but that's one tournament. I'm just saying, I can get why Messi would win it because it's the biggest stage, most watchers, like most viewers of the tournament and shit. Yeah. Like, I just don't, I just don't get how Haaland can't win it. What more does he have to do next season? If he has his same stats next season and Messi is going to be an inch of Miami, why
then he wins it.
Then why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he win it this year then?
Because of Messi doing what he did with Argentina and PSG.
I don't know. Don, you haven't said one word. What do you think, bro?
My conclusion.
Look at Arsenal stats. I can't talk about.
My conclusion is, as an Arsenal fan, I would like Messi to see win.
What? Messi to see win.
I would like Messi for it to have. I don't want Haaland to get it. So
sorry. That makes literally no sense.
Sorry.
I mean, you said Messi. I respect it.
That's no factual basis. Just look, pure bias.
I mean, I agree with Hamza though. The team is built around him. He's supposed to score all that shit.
Argentina's built around Messi.
But the role is different. The role is way different. You can't tell me Haaland does as much as Messi on the field.
That's not Haaland's fault, though. He's
yes. Okay,
Pep told Haaland, you shut the fuck up when you play striker.
Because that's all he can
and
do.
And he still got almost 10 assists. Okay, and we don't think he's
almost, yeah.
Bro, that's...
No, he did get 10 assists
okay,
overall.
But he also got 50-plus goals.
In all competitions.
He almost got 50-plus goals.
Okay, 10 assists. This does not contribute much on the field.
His position is not being a playmaker. Messi can do everything. That's why he is that role in that system. But I think y'all are underplaying his playmaking ability a little bit. Like Haaland, you look at the Arsenal game. Y'all remember when City dominated Arsenal in that one game? Haaland literally had the assist or hockey assist in every single goal. What about that? That was the biggest game of the season at that point.
It was pretty much
a title deciding game, and Haaland, his best thing about Haaland that game was his playmaking. I know he's not the best playmaker. He's not Benzema.
You think he would do the same on PSG?
He's not Benzema playmaking wise. But he's still decent. He's still getting better.
If we weren't talking about Messi, we're talking about Ronaldo and Haaland. Would you have the same answer?
Bro, if Ronaldo had 20 and 20, okay, if he won the World Cup, I get it. Like, bro, the argument. I'm not saying Messi doesn't deserve it at all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what the fuck did Haaland have to do to win? What more did he have to do?
I think if Messi didn't win the World Cup, then he wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah.
Even if he got second,
it's legit contingent on the World Cup. The fact that Messi won the World Cup and did what he did in that tournament, which is the most important tournament that every player wants to win. Is what's deciding it. But I'm going to say this. I wouldn't be mad if Haaland still won it. Like, he could still win it.
Because
I wouldn't be mad. Messi already got, like, what, 7?
That's what I'm saying. Why the fuck? He don't even need one more, bro.
He doesn't. Give it to somebody else, bro.
And
I don't think he would. Messi would be mad either. He's accomplished everything.
I know he wouldn't.
It wouldn't matter to him.
Nobody can be mad if either one wins it.
All I was asking was,
what's y'all reasoning? Is what I wanted to know.
It would just complete the Cinderella story for Messi.
Exactly. It's completed, bro. There's nothing else complete.
You got a little sprinkle, bro.
He didn't win the Champions League.
I want the icing and the cherry. Everything.
One thing's missing. The Champions League is missing. Everything else, he might have it. He might get it. It's okay.
With a team that just kept getting injured.
Hey,
it's okay, bro.
So would Haaland be at the same level and would be scoring this much if he was on PSG?
Ooh.
With that supporting cast?
No, I don't think, no. Yeah. The
with that supporting cast?
Chemistry, KDB, and Haaland have is something else.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know how big of an argument that really is, because if Messi was on a lot of other teams in the World Cup, like, they would not be the same. David, the manager, made a lot of good adjustments throughout the whole tournament, was rotating the squad until he found out his best 11. A lot of other managers didn't do that.
A lot of other teams in the world,
if Messi was on it, would not do what they did.
That's also why they lost their first game, right?
So your argument is like, I don't know. Like, obviously, he wouldn't. PSG have a shit midfield. I already know that. But they had 3 world-class attackers, so. And they didn't do shit in 2 seasons, so.
Thank you, Neymar.
this guy's just out all the time.
Thank you, Neymar.
You guys are definitely 100% lucky that Brazil got knocked out, because Brazil-Argentina would have been a badass.
Brazil, that would have been a badass game.
I love Croatia. I love Modric, but Brazil should have won that game.
What? Their striker, Brazil striker.
Yeah,
bro, that guy. Vinny
Richarlison.
Yeah.
For Brazil, he was wilding.
Yeah.
For Spurs, he's terrible, which is typical Spurs. But
yo, congratulations on second place for Croatia, bro. LM10.
Thank you, bro. Bro.
Viva España.
What more does Modric have to do? He took a shitty Croatia team to 3 finals. No, two finals and 1 runner-up.
Shout out Gavi.
You can't name another country that size of Croatia that has gone to that many finals. He's just, at that point, he's unlucky. He made every penalty. He made every key pass as like the oldest player on the field. So I feel bad for him, but yeah, it was.
Would you say KDB or Modric?
Like all time or like right now?
Just what are you saying? General midfielder.
Like if you choose it for next season,
yeah.
I mean he's 38, so.
Yeah. No, I'm like in prime.
I'm going Modric, bro.
Yeah, right now.
I think Modric still.
KDB still got.
I think Modric still does more, yeah. Like, as like an overall midfielder. Like yeah. I think Modric's defense is underrated because he's played at Spurs, so he knows mm-hmm. how to defend in the Premier League. That's why he's actually a pretty good tackler. Like yeah. Now he's a little older, he's not tackling as much, but. He's still doing a lot. He runs the most. He plays all the minutes. He plays in every final. He's all 90 minutes. He's been doing everything KDB is doing for the past like 10, 15 years. Just KDB might have a little bit more goals and assists. That's literally it. And that's because the system he plays in.
KDB still got time to prove himself even more or get up to the level of Modric.
Like he just won his first Champions League. Yeah. Modric has five, has a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, that's
taking his team. To a World Cup final, a World Cup runner-up, and a Nations League final. What has KDB done for Belgium? Name me one thing he's done.
He gave up on them.
Damn. They had a lot of beef.
That's
in the
it.
World Cup.
Damn. That's all I needed to know right there. KDB had a golden generation of probably one of the best teams in the world in Belgium. And Croatia's definitely not even close to that talent. And KDB didn't take him even to the final. So. I go Modric. I don't know what else to say. I go Modric. Y'all think KDB's better?
I'll take Modric too.
If like if KDB wins like one more Champions League or like maybe two more or wins a Ballon d'Or,
or even if he plays in a final,
there might be a conversation. But right now, there's no conversation. Like you can't say that. Not for all time.
There's been a lot of transfers in the soccer world. A lot of British people are mad for no reason. I don't know why. I'm trying to put an embargo, but that's some their problem. One of the biggest names gone. To Saudi Arabia after Ronaldo.
The Ballon d'Or winner. It's crazy, bro. The current Ballon d'Or winner is currently a member of the Saudi League. Yeah,
the presentation was wild.
Bro, that was like...
People will go crazy.
That was like a World Cup like final pregame thing, bro. Like I've never seen that for any player ever, which is insane. But yeah, bro, what do y'all think? Benzema signing for them? I mean, I know it was unexpected, so like that's like obvious, but what do you guys think?
I think he just won for money, man.
I mean,
like, he doesn't have any other reason.
Yeah, he's won everything there is to win.
Yeah, but I don't understand why he left. Like, he had so much at Madrid.
He could have had one more like farewell tour. But I've heard like he's like a pretty introverted like guy. Like he didn't want the farewell tour. He didn't want like a big like sending press off, conference basically. Like sending off.
Yeah,
he had his thing. He had his obvious like Madrid like
what they
little press
do,
conference. But he didn't want the whole you know like. Probably stadium chanting his name. Apparently, he's like a pretty shy guy, so he didn't even tell his teammates. Apparently, like they found out how we found out. Like
that's wild.
Like that's what they said. I forgot was it Nacho or something or Ceballos or something or maybe Modric. They were like, yeah, we wish him the best, and obviously, but they're like we didn't know either. Like he didn't tell anybody. He just kind of just was like
I feel kind of betrayed. If
it's that's
like,
fucked
up. It's a little bit weird. I'm gonna lie, it's a little bit weird. Like, but I don't blame him. Yeah, he's getting like 100 million a year.
103, bro.
And that's not including endorsements or anything like that.
Oil barrels, bro. Fucking month.
Yeah. And like he's already like a part of the religion. It's like probably a very easy adjustment for him. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do anything like that. So I mean, I think it's a cool transfer. I wouldn't say it's amazing because he kind of put us in a bad spot. If he could have told us like a month before, or not, if he told Perez like a month before, then he probably could have started looking at more options before for like strikers, but it is what it is, man.
Was him and Conte now?
Yep. And
it was supposed to be Ziyech also joining them, right?
It's Al Hilal, right? They're Etihad.
Oh yeah.
Ruben Neves went to fucking Al Hilal, the Portuguese midfielder.
Yeah.
He's only like 27, 28. Damn. Still in his prime.
Yeah.
Signed with Al Hilal.
Al Hilal.
How do you pronounce it?
No, that's the closest you can get.
Al Hilal
just sounds like Al Hilal.
And Koulibaly went to Hilal too. That's crazy, bro. Koulibaly is still like not even 32, 33.
And for those who don't know, the teams don't have no decision. The government does.
Yeah, apparently the government is deciding a lot.
Yeah,
of it.
The government is
that's crazy.
Sprinkling them around.
Hey,
like, you know,
I ain't gonna lie, it's working, bro.
Is that government money?
Yeah. Oil money.
Brozovic, the Croatian midfielder, still in his prime, or maybe end of his prime. He just signed for Ronaldo's team, Al Nassr. They also got Ziyech, But apparently his transfer fell through because of like a knee problem, bullshit. So dang. The fact that Saudi is getting players like in their prime and like they're not even done yet, like the market kind of like just opened.
Firmino's also gone there.
Firmino just signed.
That was crazy.
I forgot what team he signed for, but literally every day we're seeing like a big name.
Another name just showing up.
Like pretty much like a world class player signed for them. So hey man, good for Saudi Arabia. Like. I mean, they had a plan, and so far it's working.
It's good for those kind of countries. I know some British people were mad about it.
Yeah, let's talk about other countries.
I understand that, but like at the same time, you've taken so many players from other countries that are impoverished and don't have that kind of oil, money, whatever you want to call it. Like
as soon as
like South American players, Portuguese players, like they're all getting taken. They never say anything. Yeah. They just develop those players.
As soon as the Premier League.
Yeah, loses anybody.
Got outshadowed or like outbidded by another league. Now it's a problem, apparently.
Yeah.
Or now it's a problem that it's oil-backed money, but it's not a problem when Man City
is owned.
Has 100-plus charges for like financial fair play.
Yeah, here we go. He's been waiting on this.
I know he's going to transition to Barcelona.
No, I'm not talking about Barcelona. Barcelona is a story. We don't really got... Y'all know
that's true. I'm talking about strictly Man City. They have 100-plus charges because of like some... money, like I don't know about laundering, but like the way they handle their money,
pump.
Yeah.
Like the financial fair play or something. And apparently another one just came out like a few days ago on Man City. So it's not a problem when they do it. It's not a problem when Newcastle's owned by like Saudi people. Yeah. But as soon as the Saudi league starts buying like players who aren't like 50 years old, now it's a problem. So I don't get it. I think it's just bias, a little bit biased, but.
Because like before Ronaldo even went, no one even knew about Saudi League.
I couldn't name one team.
Yeah,
literally, like I know I'm a huge Ronaldo fan, but he did start like if fucking I don't know some if Rakitic went to like Saudi League, like just him, like people would be like, all right, cool.
That's what I'm saying. Like even Iniesta, if he went to China League, no one cared.
They needed one like all time great to go there, and then people are like, yo. If that dude went, why can't I go? Like Rodriguez? Ronaldo's won every trophy there is to win every game. He's played so many games. And they're like, oh, yo, if that guy's going, why can't I go? Like,
remember Rodriguez? I mentioned this.
James
before.
Right?
Yeah, James
he's
Rodriguez.
Bounced around like five different leagues.
Nobody
cares.
A shit.
He went to Qatar. Yeah. He went to like. I can't even name.
Begged to come back. Nobody cared.
Yeah, I can't even name. Like so many players have gone to random leagues and like nothing has changed. But as soon as Ronaldo went, and then when Benzema signed, the wave was on.
It's the money, because the contract.
Obviously it's the money, but I do think the lifestyle like plays a part because a lot of soccer players don't drink.
Yeah,
they're pretty family oriented. Like I know there's partiers out there. Like I haven't seen a Brazilian sign for the Saudi league yet. They're all partying, right? But like these players, like they're like might have. Like a different religion, right, than Saudi Arabia, but they're like, you know, pretty strict with that. So no drinking, no really partying like that, family oriented.
Yeah.
And people like, and there's good security, right? There's like no crime, right? So soccer players are like, why wouldn't I want to go there low key, right? Yeah. The league is getting better.
Yeah.
There's going to be more and more eyes, a lot more money, obviously money. So, you know,
Ronaldo's also when he went, his marketing there, like,
bro,
that guy was posting every other day.
Right away.
He's
right away.
Something's going on. Same with Benzema. That guy got on the flight.
Exactly.
Yo, I'm ready.
Exactly. And him and when Conte signed, they had like the little reveal video of him talking, bro. Yeah. Like, I don't know. They're killing it. I ain't gonna lie.
Man,
Saudi is killing it.
Ronaldo started the Saudi wave. Messi's gonna start the MLS wave.
Yep. Let's talk about that real quick. So,
Messi. Deal is crazy.
Exactly.
Apparently, he's better get MLS shares and
like,
all that.
People are like, oh, he didn't want to go to Saudi because he's not chasing the money. Bro, do you know how much money he's going to make in MLS?
Yeah.
Very similar to what he was going to make.
Because with this, it's not just his contract.
And with this, he's not living. Like Messi drinks. Okay, let's be honest. Yeah. So him in Saudi Arabia, I don't think.
Nobody denying that.
I don't think his lifestyle would fit Saudi Arabia as much as Ronaldo's does because Ronaldo doesn't do shit besides like. Post Instagram and work out and then chill with his family, right? Like Messi is parties a little more, not like a huge partier, but like
he's a lot more chill.
The Miami lifestyle is probably better suited for him. And especially like you were saying, the contracts and stuff. Like he's getting a cut of every like Apple TV subscription.
Exactly.
You know how that's insane.
And I'm pretty sure it's not just for as long as he's with Miami, it's like
forever, basically. And then apparently he has some minor percentage in the club eventually, too.
He gets a percentage in the club, and then from Adidas.
That's crazy, bro.
And he gets some from Adidas too.
Yeah, yeah. So y'all telling me.
For all the sales.
Yeah.
He's making hella money.
So he's basically a Jordan brand for Adidas.
Yeah, you're getting the lifetime Jordan.
Didn't they say, like, every club pitched in just to get Messi here?
Yes.
Something like that.
I mean, the MLS is giving them a cut.
I wouldn't.
So, yeah. they do have to. Because
that's also the first time that Adidas, he's like wearing Adidas jersey, yeah. And then he's also part of Adidas. Like, yeah, otherwise, it's always been Nike, Adidas, Nike, Adidas.
Yeah. It's actually kind of crazy. But I mean, for America, it's amazing. Like, we're going to be able to see him next season.
Exactly. Yes.
Right? So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think the MLS has ever gotten a star like this.
Yeah. Exactly. Inter Miami, they're doing something crazy. They're planning something. I don't know what they're planning.
They're the worst team in the league. Yeah. The worst team in the league. But somehow they got Messi. They got Busquets.
Busquets. And now the manager, coach. Too.
The manager is
Argentine. Suarez is not coming back.
Suarez is probably not. But I think they're looking for like one more like amazing player.
Loki, Jordi Alba. I don't know. It's possible.
Jordi Alba is something. There's
mad rumors about they're trying to get something back together.
If Busquets and Messi are there, I'm sure other people are going to want to come back. Just like the Saudi thing, you see one huge world-class star go, you're like, all right, I'm going to go too.
MLS can afford it like that, like other big names.
America?
It's on the MLS. come up. Like, yeah, yo, it takes time. It's like $10,000 a piece.
We're in a recession,
it's
bro.
Crazy.
Bro, I was looking like the day Messi like signed or that it was official that just he was for Miami. I was looking at because there was still rumors like, okay, he's gonna sign with Miami, but it wasn't announced. I was looking at tickets that morning, like 9, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
$100 max. $100 max for like amazing seats, like $120. $50 for like a regular ticket. I'm like, yo, all right, bet. Like, I'm not gonna buy one yet because it has been confirmed.
Exactly.
Literally, like 2, 3, 4 hours later, I go back on my phone, and I'm like, the tickets are $500 on the day that he's like got announced.
We were literally talking about
bro hasn't
about
even
that,
set
yeah.
foot in like a plane, hasn't set foot in America, and the tickets are already like what?
There wasn't no any confirmed date. Like, yo, when is he actually gonna start?
He never announced.
People were just booking tickets.
Bro. No, the owner enjoying life right now, bro.
Bro,
yeah.
MLS is about to be crazy next season. Is all I'm gonna say. Like,
blow it up.
This is gonna be the most viewers they've ever had. Just like the Saudi League. Just like, I mean, literally, they're gonna have triple the eyes, maybe quadruple the eyes watching now. That's what you want if you're American, right? Like,
if you're trying to build a league.
There's only one way our players are gonna get better, if playing against better people. So, you know, it's good. It's good for us. But anything else you guys want to touch on?
Like that same thing with Zlatan going to LA Galaxy. Like, there's been heads in MLS. But nothing as big as Messi.
Don't forget about Wayne Rooney, bro.
He was at DC United. I never went to a DC United game.
He's
coaching now.
He's a manager now. I still know when he gives a shit. Like,
Ibrahimovic
was a big name. People in LA definitely came out to that.
Messi to MLS.
Those are the two biggest players in existence of sports.
Yeah. I think most of the players that were older that got here, they were already like
they're out of their prime.
Not even out of their prime. They were at the end of their career completely.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And Messi can still like
even
do a
then
lot.
They were tearing up the league. Yeah. So I don't know what the hell Messi's gonna do next season because I know he's at the end of his prime, and like he could probably still play a few more years at Europe like a high level. So if he's locked in, imagine what he's gonna do next
season.
Like I think he should have like fucking 30 and 20, bro. I'm not even joking. I genuinely think he should have 30 goals and
another
like
Ballon d'Or question mark.
15, 20. You guys think that's like outrageous? I don't think so.
No, with the competition.
If he scored 20 and 20 with PSG, and like you saying he was getting booed a lot, so he stopped caring or something at the end, or stopped caring as much. I think he should break almost every record in the MLS.
I do think big things are coming for him.
I think the expectations
are high, and he's gonna beat him. Like, that's just his job.
I think so too. Yeah,
that's just his job.
He's playing against mostly American players, bro. Like,
bro, he's been doing these exhibition matches recently with Argentina. He's going ham.
He's tweaking.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. That's why I think he should break like every record. Was it 2 years? A 2 year contract, right, from Miami?
I think so.
It's 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So everything smashed. I think assist record, goal record.
Yeah.
Goal assist record, anything possible, it should be gone. But
there's also a possibility he gets loaned out. I don't know if that's gonna happen, but
I feel like,
man, I feel like we launching a new team in Qatar for 100 million.
let's transition over. All right, we talked about Messi and Ronaldo a little bit. Let's talk about a little Barca Madrid here.
We opened in the shop in Qatar.
Congrats to you for Jude Bellingham.
Thank you.
Congrats to us for winning the league.
Yes, sir.
That's not gonna change. We're talking about next season. But Jude Bellingham, most expensive and valuable midfielder in the world. We signed him, right? Now we have seven, eight midfielders.
No. Yeah, your depth for midfield is crazy.
Yeah,
you got old heads and
we literally young have like two, three like world class rotations. So yeah. I don't know how Ansar is gonna figure that out because he hasn't figured out easier things. So I don't know how he's 4-4-2. Gonna figure that. I think he should go to 4-4-2.
3-5. One.
I think
Vinny and Rodrigo up top.
I think that's probably what's gonna happen.
Yeah, because there's no solid number nine right now.
Yeah, just do a 4-4-2 and have like a box midfield. So that's your best option. I don't know how he's gonna do it, but yeah, Bellingham, amazing signing, crazy talent. He literally just turned 20 like a day or two ago, so he's young as hell.
Yeah. And Mbappe is definitely not coming.
You think so? You think 100%? Yeah,
you will get him for free next like
bro,
year.
No. Let me explain.
Rodrigo can try it.
Let me explain. Rodrigo
can get some backup.
Rodrigo has like the talent and technicality to play striker, but he's not. I don't think he's physical enough. Like back to the defender and like holding up. That's not his game.
He's gonna get dogged on.
Like he's not even a right winger. He's a pure left winger, and he's still good on the right wing. So he can play center forward ish. But no, we need Mbappe.
But we haven't
replaced Benzema. Who's our striker, bro? Like Joselu is not a starting guy. He could start some games if he needs to.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's gonna start 30 games and have the kind of output that we need. So you said why wouldn't we just wait, right, for him to come, Mbappe to come for free?
Literally.
Well, why would PSG let his contract run out and lose out on $200 million? Why would they do that? If the relationship's already broken, which it seems like it is, because he sent a letter. Imagine sending a letter to your club expressing like I'm gonna leave. It's literally what he said.
He's been so back and forth with it.
Let me explain, right? This is the angle that I think he's coming from, right? He told the club, I'm not happy, I don't want to stay, right? Let me leave this year, right? Just sell me this year. It doesn't make sense for PSG to let him finish out his contract because they get no money out of it. And he said that he probably is not going to extend, right?
Yeah.
This is all behind closed doors, right? This is a lot of the reports that have came out. He's saying all this, I want to stay at PSG. He's saying this thing like, oh, I never like did this, right? And he said that like, or Heyman or his agent said like, I don't know why there's a big outlash about the letter that he wrote, right? But I think Mbappe is just making it seem like to the media, he's saying, oh, I want to be here, I want to stay here, just so he's not crushed by the media, right?
Yeah.
Yet, so like, whoever is like a PSG fan or France fan and is not keeping up like every day with the rumors like we are, right? Like they're probably thinking, oh, Mbappe doesn't want to leave. He's just, this is a bunch of rumors and some bullshit. It's like a PR thing. I think he's literally just doing it for PR.
Yeah.
We saw Benzema say one day before he left to Saudi Arabia, he said, don't believe everything on the internet. He said, the internet's not reality. And the next day he went to Saudi Arabia. Right? Messi said a lot of things about wanting to go back to Barca. His dad did too. Yeah. He went to Inter Miami. Ronaldo did the same thing when he was at Madrid. Like they don't let really like details slip out until the transfer is done.
Happens,
right?
Yeah.
So I think Mbappe is just playing the PR game right now. It makes a lot of sense for Madrid to want to buy him now because if he is off of like his contract next year and he comes for free, he's not coming for free. He's gonna want agent fees, he's gonna want guarantees for his family next season, right? Because coming for free, he's like, all right, give me this.
Yeah.
You know what they're doing in Saudi Arabia? Like, yo, I want this to come there. He would do that for us. So that's basically 200 million right there, anyways. So why wouldn't we just pay 200 million for him now, a year earlier? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's how I see it.
It'll be dumb on PSG if they don't like sell him for some fee.
Yeah, because you're losing him for free, and that's $200 million, $300 million right there. So
that could be one of the biggest transfers, like
ever.
Crazy transfer. Yeah,
and like obviously the foreshadowing is there. He's a Madrid fan since he was a kid. Ronaldo fan since he was a kid, right? Like he's rejected us a couple good times, job. But when a player is that big and that good, like you're gonna keep trying for him until like he has said like, and I'm not coming, or rejected it like enough times to where you're like, all right, like
he said no, he's put it back up in the air, and like,
right, that's what I'm saying.
There's no defined yes or no.
Every season is wishy washy, so yeah, it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm still like, I'm 75% sure he's coming this season.
That's if he high. Does come to Madrid, your lineup is gonna be stacked.
Insane.
Yeah. Y'all are still gonna lose though.
Yeah.
So, to who? To you?
Yes.
Who's your biggest signing this season? Gundogan?
Yes.
Okay. Right? Yes. Okay. He's a central midfielder, right?
Yeah.
So who's your Busquets replacement? Who's your DM?
Kessie.
Kessie's apparently he's getting a lot of offers from other teams.
And he's not accepting.
Okay.
He wants to stay.
Yeah, I'm sure you're his agent.
He wants to stay.
No, I'm just saying, who's your DM if Kessie's
De Jong here? Been going back to center back. He's been filling in. He's
not,
doing a good
he's
job
not a
of it.
World class DM though.
He's been doing a good job of it.
You know he's an eight.
He's pretty physical.
Yeah.
He has negative, like, okay, he's an okay six, but I don't think, you guys think that's his best position?
I think he can fill it in. I think he can fill it. How, yo, like, think about it. Kamavinga, he went to left back.
I said best.
Like, but that's what I'm saying. Kamavinga, he went to left back. He got the job done, and he did the job done efficiently.
He did.
I think the same thing can happen with De Jong.
Yeah.
But y'all problem in the past few seasons has been, like, your CDM position, right? Because Bus is big and old, right? And now he's completely gone. So I think y'all just added another like eight, and y'all already have like a couple of those who are world class. It's kind of interesting because y'all do need a left winger, right? Because Fatih is still up in the air, right? Your right wing is Dembele and Rafinha, right? They're not Rafinha's not leaving, right?
Rafinha's staying.
So I'm saying your left wing position is there. Who's your backup striker? Ferran Torres, pretty shit, right?
Actually, left wing is also staying. He'll play.
Left wing, Torres he shows up sometimes.
So left wing and striker.
He can
like,
play left wing too.
You could say left wing and striker are like needs, right? Mm-hmm. You could say you could say CDM is a need, and then
I think defense is pretty good right now.
Jordi Alba left, so that's right back.
That's Balde. Or
left back.
He's left back.
Yeah,
Balde will be replacing him.
Who's your right back? Koundé? Koundé's a center back, and he said he doesn't want to play right back.
Yeah, he'll
so I'm
be
saying
fine.
those are three positions right there that like I think you guys should have filled before signing Gundogan, because you guys already had Pedri, already have De Jong, already had.
But that's Gavi, what these young guys they need someone to look off of. They had Busquets, but Busquets was CDM, and Busquets his game was completely different compared to everyone else.
Yeah,
you guys
don't have anybody who can replicate that.
That's what I'm saying. De Jong does that his job now. Like, you've seen him in games where he literally sits back.
I don't think Barca's at their best when he's doing that. I think he's the best when he's, like, a little bit more forward.
But because of the position Barca's in right now, people are going to have to shift positions.
I agree.
And I think because of the, like, literally passion, they're going to be willing do what they need to do.
It's a good, still time to
it's
sign
a good signing.
Yeah.
It's a good signing, but I think you guys still have some gaps in the squad, because a lot of your, like, victories last year, they were based on, like, defense. A lot of them were 1-0 wins, 2-0 wins in the league. Like, your offense wasn't amazing last year. You guys in the
pretty
league.
Well, one game 4-0
look,
against y'all.
Okay, let me finish my statement. we also beat y'all 4-0, so keep that in mind. But I'm saying you guys know Atletico Madrid scored as much or more goals than you guys did in the league last year. Do you guys know that?
Yeah, but
we were on pace for the best defensive record in the league.
And we had the most clean sheets.
You guys were on pace for the best defensive record, like goals let up in the league. And then the last few weeks, you guys just like
shat the bed,
right? You guys gave up or whatever.
Once we won the league,
I think it was just testing things out. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying y'all were carried by your defense last year. Yeah. And your offense, if you think about it, wasn't the best offense in the league.
That's understandable.
You guys won because of your defense.
And Lewandowski was injured for most of the season.
But does it really matter if you're
not
winning?
He played injured for most of the season.
Okay, sort of Benzema. But Benzema missed like double the games. Lewandowski was, he played nicked. But every player is nicked up. Like, he's not the Lewandowski he used to be running around doing everything. He's kind of. He is older.
I think that will be our greatest strength at this point.
I just think your
defense.
Because, bro, we can't be playing like we have Messi on the field every time.
Yeah. No, I know. Like, you got Gundogan, who's not a like forward-looking player. He's kind of like a final third player, right? Finishing off those goals or giving those last passes. So I'm just saying, I think y'all should be looking to strengthen your defense more than anything, because that's what carried y'all.
It's gonna have to be a more fluid game between the defense and the midfield, because up at the attack is like either you're gonna give it to Lewandowski or Dembele. I don't know about left wing.
That's what I'm saying. Your left wing's kind of like,
I mean, Torres does a good job. Sometimes
he's
they throw Gavi up
he's
there.
He's not world class.
Sometimes
he's definitely
Gavi
not world class.
It can work.
Both
sometimes.
Your left wing options right now, or if three, if you count Fatih, none of them are world class.
Bro, I think they put way too much pressure on Fatih.
I agree. They gave him the number 10 right away when he was coming off injuries.
Exactly. And I think they just got to his head. That guy could be performing, and he performs every once in a while. But
I saw a thing where it's like he hasn't started 3 games in a row in 2 years.
Yeah. That's because
I think that's partly coaching. That's manager.
But it also sucks because of his injuries. That guy went back into surgery, came back, went back into surgery. He was fit at the end of the season.
He was fit at the end of the season, and Xavi didn't play him once, 3 times in a row.
It's definitely some mental thing. Bro, think about it. He's been out for a minute.
You're telling me Fatih couldn't start 3 games in a row once?
I think that was just his call as manager. Like, yo, I don't think I'm not trying to.
He's your number 10. He has to be getting minutes. He's that young. How are you going to get better if you're not getting minutes? So. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting season.
It's going to be a lot of adjusting. 100% it's going to be adjusting again.
There's still a lot of market to go. There's still a lot of signings to go. But
I do think we do need another defensive signing. But
yeah. I think you guys need one or two.
We could get Des back.
Who?
Serginho
Des?
Shut the fuck up, man.
Defense is literally like the worst thing he does. He's an attacking player. He's an attacking player again. So
he's only put overlap on.
Yeah, it doesn't really help you that much. But let's... Let's move on to the Premier League signings a little bit.
Forgot about Christopher.
We'll shift.
Who? Christopher Nkunku.
That's what I'm saying. We're about to move over to Premier League. So,
For the Arsenal, or Mount?
City winning again, bro.
For the Arsenal fan to my left, how you feel about your signings so far? Kai Havertz and Declan Rice.
That smile tells it all.
I feel amazing. Listen, you know, you had some comments about Havertz.
He's ass.
He's average. Average. You put him.
Yeah, he's average. Yeah, you could say he's average.
Yeah, but you put him with the midfield with Odegaard and Martinelli.
But he plays striker and winger for most of his time with Chelsea.
I think he can play back too, bro. I think he's flexible.
Is this randomly going to play midfielder now?
He's flexible. He's flexible.
I think he'll do okay in their system because their system is based on kind of what he does the best, like low key. Like, but I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he's gonna provide any crazy difference in quality that you think he will.
I think he will.
I think Declan Rice will, because I think Declan Rice is definitely better than Thomas Partey. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because apparently he's gone. Yeah. They're letting him go. So replacing him with Rice is pretty good, because Rice is, I don't know if he's worth $100 million.
Yeah, I think that was a little stretch.
I definitely don't know about 100 million.
A little gypped on that price.
We just had to beat Man City, bro, for that. But it's okay.
Yeah, I think they just drove the price. just for y'all.
Just for Messi and not again.
They did that. Who did they do? They did that for somebody else too, like last season. They just drove the price for no reason. They do it all the time. Man City just to fuck with other teams, make them spend more.
But it works.
It definitely works. Yeah, bro. What are your expectations for next season? You guys finished second this season.
I was gonna ask you.
Why?
Do you think that's enough to outbeat Haaland and Man City?
Right now, I don't know, because Bernardo Silva has been rumored to leave. Gundogan left.
Mm-hmm.
Silva and Gundogan are huge parts of the system, right?
They got Kovacic now.
Yeah, they did. Actually, yeah, it's facts. They replaced Kovacic, is a good ass player.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's as good as Gundogan. I'm not gonna lie. I think he's like just barely below him.
But so, I think he's a really good replacement.
Yeah,
he's gonna fill the job.
He is, and someone else left, right? Someone else left City.
Joao Cancelo, but he left Matt earlier.
Yeah.
I think it's just Gundogan.
It's just Gundogan so far. But yeah. I think, yeah, because Silva's rumored to leave. I don't know about... why can't I remember? There's one more player who's like rumored to leave. So right now, I would say no. I don't think that puts you over the top. I think you guys need like... You guys needed some star forward. I think your forwards are still like... Saka, you could say he's world-class at some points of the season. He kind of fell off at the end. Maybe he burnt out a little bit. He runs a lot. Jesus isn't really like a out-and-out nine. He drops back a lot, right? And then he plays wing a lot. Martinelli, how much better is he going to get? Yeah, how much better is he going to get? He's kind of just like a kick-the-ball-ahead kind of guy and then cut back a little bit. Yeah. So I feel like what you guys were missing was like goals and mentality in the biggest games. And I don't think Havertz and Rice replaced that. Because Rice has never played a Champions League game.
Yeah.
Havertz... We saw what he did at Chelsea. He wasn't the best big game player. Yeah, he scored in the Champions League final, but it was also kind of just... It wasn't a crazy goal. Just dribbled past the goalie at a full speed and just knocked into an empty net. So
I don't think Harris is going to make He's gonna. It's I think gonna be he'll hard create a lot. Fit in.
I think. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's gonna be hard to fit into Arsenal, and then it's gonna cost Arsenal. I don't think Arsenal finished top five.
Top Whoa. Five. Okay. That's a stretch.
That's crazy.
That's a stretch. That's a stretch.
That's crazy.
They'll finish top four. I think these like United signings. Well, they just got Mount, right? I think we'll Mount is gonna do better than Havertz at Arsenal.
Okay, but you know what? Do you think Mount and Bruno and Casemiro is a good midfield?
I think they're gonna make it work.
I think that's above average, but I don't think Mount and Bruno are both like forward-looking final third kind of players.
I think that's me.
So it's just gonna be Casemiro sitting back with no other help. Like he can do that.
That's what he has the ability.
But
to
he's
do
a
that.
Little bit older though. He's gonna be older next season, right? I don't think that's the best midfield. I think United will be good, but they still need. I think they still need more. They still need more attacking. Sancho's not that amazing. He's not that amazing, bro. They bought him for what, close to 100 million, mm-hmm. and now his value is like 40. Which is crazy. Martial's ass. I think he's probably leaving too.
But they got Rashford up top, and if Rashford stays
just Rashford.
But if he stays consistent, he's a very good striker.
He's mostly a left winger though.
But like, he gets the job done when he's a striker. He can finish.
He fell off towards the end of the season too.
But what he did for England, during World Cup, that was a strong performance.
And then, what's it called? They didn't start him in the last game, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who did they play? He played France. Did he start? I don't think he started against France.
That was up with manager.
But the manager sucks. But what I'm saying is, I don't know about top five. Okay, they'll definitely finish top four. They're in Champions League next season, so they'll have.
I think they're gonna be.
They'll have money. They'll have money to like make an emergency first, signing in the.
I do think they're gonna go down a few numbers.
I think it's possible they could finish fourth to third because Chelsea's definitely not gonna be as bad as they were last season.
Yeah.
United might be the same or better. They finished third, right? Third or fourth? Newcastle.
I was about to say Newcastle.
Newcastle has made two or three signings. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they've made some decent signings.
Chelsea still is trying to throw some money around at this point. You know, they've sold. Just recently, they're trying to buy Mbappe.
They've sold. Okay.
They try to get him. They threw 130 million and then some.
Yeah, it's not happening. That's not happening. But
they're going to sign somebody.
There's also Liverpool. Liverpool's going to have a little bit of a resurgence. They got your boy, McAllister, right?
Welcome.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but McAllister is Liverpool's new number 10, so that's a pretty good signing. What was I going to say? I don't know what I was about to say, though. Yeah, I definitely don't think those signings put Arsenal over the top. No. I think you guys need goals you guys need championship experience, which I don't think you guys gained at all.
If they get another forward attacker...
Like an experienced forward who's like won trophies.
Then that'll make a difference, but right now they got nothing.
The most experienced players on the team are Jesus and like Zinchenko.
That's it.
And that's saying
Zinchenko's an inverted left back.
Yeah.
they need some really strong-headed players, so we'll see how it goes.
I think they'll compete, so. But we'll see how it goes. It's okay.
I think they'll give a good run, but not as good as what they did.
Really?
Yeah.
Who, Arsenal?
Arsenal.
I think they could. They were in first for a minute and they did good.
Yeah.
They're up by double digits and they lost by double digits. Yeah. So that should tell you everything. Should tell you everything right there. So
that's true. The championship mentality, they don't have that. So
that's a real thing, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Madrid literally thrives off championship experience. Like they might not be the most talented team like all the time, like in the Champions League runs, but just because they've been there, they don't get nervous.
One thing they do, their comebacks are crazy.
They don't get nervous.
Well, it was PSG last year. In Champions League?
Three times, bro.
It was like 3-0.
Three comebacks. Yeah. It was against PSG, it was against Chelsea, and against Man City. All comeback wins. And that's because when you go down 1-0 or 2-0 or even 3-1, 3-0, you don't lose like the hope. You're like, okay, we're still in it. We've been here before, right?
Yeah.
When Arsenal went down 1-0 or 2-0 to like City, they lost their heads. When they went 1-0 down against like Southampton, lost their heads.
Yeah.
It's all just experience. I think.
Well, I think it was
makes a big
Champions
difference.
Champions League,
bro.
They went 2-0 down to Liverpool, and what they
5-2.
Won 5-2.
Bro,
that game was crazy.
That's what I'm telling you, bro. 2-0 in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah,
maybe it could have even been 20 minutes.
Yeah, those were like back to back.
I was
goals,
literally
yeah.
watching the game. I was like, "We're down 2-0," and I still was like, "I'm not that like worried right now." I was mad.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like this game's over, and then of course we scored what five straight. So
the rug is sold.
It makes a big difference. Championship experience is a real thing in any sport. We see it in the NBA. We see it in the NFL. The experienced players, they make a difference in the last couple games. So we'll see.
I agree.
How hopeful are you? Are you guys going to do anything in Champions League next season?
I think we'll be top three. No, not Champions League. I don't know about Champions League, man.
You think you can make it? Like, you think you can make it the quarters or semis or
top five maybe
or not yet?
For me,
all you guys have to do, all you guys have to do is make it out the group stage. Yeah, you're back. Literally, that's all you have to do.
But yeah, I can't say anything about Champions League because we haven't.
Are you hopeful though?
Yeah. I just don't think these signings are negatives. Then
no, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Yeah, if there's a word, if it was a, is it for a lack of a better word, yeah, it's probably a good term.
Like, I don't think they can cause us. Like,
they can't hurt you.
They can't hurt us, but like, it's up to the. I don't even know what to say, bro.
It also depends how the manager wants them to play.
Facts, yeah.
Because
I think you guys need one more player, bro.
Yeah.
I think if you guys got like Nkunku, who like Chelsea signed, if you guys got him, that would have been crazy.
Chelsea,
because he's a pretty good player. Like, y'all need someone creative, pacey like that. I think a lot of your players, I don't know. I don't really know how else to describe it besides you need more goals. And I don't think you need.
I think you get more goals.
I think your highest score on your team was Odegaard. He's a midfielder.
Yeah, but that should tell you, bro.
That should tell you everything.
He dogged. Sorry.
I agree. He dogged, but you need a forward to be your highest scorer.
You need a striker scoring goals.
Yeah, exactly.
I think between like Martinelli and Jesus and Saka, it was like 42 goals between them.
Wasn't enough.
Yeah.
You're gonna need a little more. I'm not gonna lie. You're gonna need a little more.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much every big transfer so far we covered. Yeah. Lead us out.
Gunna, you listen to Gunna?
Gunna's.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in, everyone. It's been a good episode. And thank you, Raj, for joining us on this episode. Hopefully, we'll see you on
the next soccer episode.
Next soon, one. Hopefully, soon, join us when the season starts.
As soon as some big signings happen, or right before the season starts.
Ballon d'Or awards come out.
We'll get you. We'll get you back on. Don't worry.
Yeah. Make sure you check us out on all social media platforms and any streaming platform at Check the Stat 5. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever he's pointing. I'm Hamza, along with Harry, T-Rain, and our superstar guest, Yvraj. Check the stats. We out.
Peace.